Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray, to listen to you. And today we do it with Our Lady as we consider the power of the Rosary. But let us open the Gospel to Saint John in the second chapter, where, as he tells us, on the third day there was a marriage at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. A human need, Mary is there, as she is in all of our needs as our mother. Jesus also was invited to the marriage with his disciples. When the wine failed, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come." But Mary knows that you can do a miracle. You have not done any before. She knows you are God. She doesn't really ask you. She simply says, "They have no wine." And you give her that apparent rebuff, "My time has not yet come." But Mary knows you, and she says to the stewards, "Do whatever he tells you." Now 6 stone jars were standing there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the steward of the feast." So they took it. When the steward of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And Lord, you did that prodigious miracle, your first, because your mother asked you. And you are now in heaven, and as so many saints have said, Jesus never said no to his mother on earth. He won't say no to her in heaven. And Lord, help us to go through your mother to you, because we know she is, as the Church says, supplicating omnipotence. Omnipotentia supplex, that all-powerful intercession, because she is your mother, the daughter of God the Father, and spouse of God the Holy Spirit. Next to her, only God. When Mary asks you for something, you always hear and answer. Help us to go to Mary, and help us to go to Mary through the Rosary, which she encourages us to say. She was holding the Rosary in her hand, and she said it with Saint Bernadette at Lourdes. At Fatima, she identifies herself as Our Lady of the Rosary, and she encouraged the children to say it. Sister Lucy of Fatima, who later became a Carmelite nun, wrote in a letter in 1978, Our Lady asked and recommended that we pray the rosary every day. She repeated it in all the apparitions, as if wanting to put us on guard so that in these times of diabolical disorientation, we would not allow ourselves to be deceived by false doctrines, weakening in the raising of our soul to God in prayer, to pray it every day, so that we would not be led astray. And Lord, over the years, you have done so many favors for mankind and for individuals when the rosary was said. We can go back to the 13th century and St. Dominic, trying to convert the heretics of that day, the Albigensians and Waldensians, and having little success. And then your mother Mary appeared to him and encouraged him to use the rosary. The rosary had existed in an earlier form for some 200 years. And when St. Dominic began to use the rosary, he was very successful in converting those heretics. We can go to the 16th century and the Battle of Lepanto. The Turkish navy had run rampant on the Mediterranean for many years, hunting down fleets and ships belonging to the Christians. And it was necessary to engage that large fleet and, if possible, to defeat it. Pope Pius V, who was a Dominican, got together a fleet put together from various Christian nations, and they set sail under the captaincy of Don Juan of Austria, the brother of King Philip II of Spain. They had fewer galleys than the Turks, 208 against 286. But they had the rosary. Don Juan distributed a rosary to every man in his army and navy. And then on the eve of the decisive battle, leading by example, he asked all to say the rosary, and they did. Meanwhile, in Rome, Pope Pius V was asking all of Christendom to pray the rosary. Confraternity after confraternity assembled to pray the rosary. The Pope himself, on the evening before the battle, on the 6th of October, 1571, led the rosary at the Dominican convent of Santa Maria sopra Minerva in Rome. He had that trust that if Europe were going to be saved from that Muslim invasion, it would be through the rosary. With tears in his eyes, he led the rosary, begging Our Lady to assist the Christian cause. And then on the following day, the navy encountered the Turkish navy in the Gulf of Lepanto off the coast of Greece. At the beginning, the wind was unfavorable and the Turks were winning. Then it suddenly changed and the Christian navy came into the ascendancy. Finally, the commander of the Turkish navy was killed on the decks of Don Juan's ship and they took to flight. They had lost many, many of their galleys and other ships. The battle had been won. And on that very afternoon in Rome, Pope Pius V was meeting with some of his entourage when he suddenly got up, went to the window, looked out, and came back saying, "Victory, victory." He had had a vision that the battle had been won. They said the Te Deum, that hymn of praise to God. They gave thanks for the victory in that battle. It would only be 2 weeks later that he would find out that indeed the battle had been fought and won on that day. And he then instituted a feast to be commemorated on the 7th of October, the Feast of Our Lady of Victory. And a few years later, the name was changed to the name we have today, Our Lady of the Rosary. What power the Rosary has. We can come forward to the 20th century, and at Fatima, Our Lady pleading for the Rosary to be said for the conversion of Russia. Russia would soon fall into the power of the Bolsheviks and then the Communists. Millions of people would die. But how many rosaries were said in the following decades? And then in 1989, with Poland turning from a communist government to a democratic one, and those communist regimes falling one by one in the Soviet satellite states, finally, Russia itself abandoned communism. And in a sense, we can say that was the answer to that prayer for the conversion of Russia. Religion could now be practiced freely again. And we can say the Rosary was so important in that. The Rosary brings about so many conversions. People that used to pray the Rosary and later were converted. People that never said the Rosary, converted in some way through it. Let us look at the testimony of Father Don Calloway, who writes in his beautiful book, Champions of the Rosary, in the introduction, his own story. When I first encountered the Rosary, I was a sick man. Sick in my heart and sick in my soul. I had been living a very immoral life, to the point where I had to drop out of high school. I was worldly, hedonistic, and without hope of ever changing. My life was so out of control that at the age of 15, I was forcibly removed from the country of Japan due to criminal activity. My stepfather was a naval officer at the time. After being deported from Japan, my life of crime and sin continued. I did two stints in drug rehabilitation centers in Pennsylvania and was thrown in jail in Louisiana as soon as I turned 18. By the age of 20, I was completely lost and on the point of taking my own life. I was about as far away from God as a person can get. In fact, I hated anything religious, especially anything to do with Jesus and the Catholic Church. But one night in 1992, I picked up a book that my parents, who had recently converted to Catholicism, had purchased and left on their bookshelf. The book was about a beautiful woman named Mary. It alleged that she was coming from a place called heaven with a message of love, mercy, and conversion. I had no idea who Mary was or what a Marian apparition was, but the message intrigued me, and I stayed up all night reading it. The contents of that book hit my foul soul like a divine 2x4. So I went to a Catholic church the very next day to find a priest and get some answers, which was the first time I had ever been inside a Catholic church. It was also the first time I encountered the Rosary. I remember creeping into the small military chapel of Our Lady of Victory on Norfolk Naval Base in Norfolk, Virginia. And we should take note that it was the chapel of Our Lady of Victory, the first name given to that feast celebrated because of the victory at Lepanto. Father Calloway goes on, I entered with fear and trembling, fully aware that I was no friend of God. I intentionally sank down as low as I could in the last pew in order to avoid eye contact with the only other people in the chapel, the five Filipina women up front. Then I witnessed something bizarre. Each of the ladies pulled something out of their purse resembling a necklace. I had no idea what it was or what they were going to do with it, but within a few seconds they were using it and saying prayers I had never before heard. Due to their thick Filipino accents, I couldn't entirely make out what they were saying, but it went something like this. Hail Mary, something, something, Jesus, followed by Holy Mary, something, something, death, Amen. Next, and to my total surprise, the apparent leader turned around and looked at me, the long-haired hippie sitting in the back. She jingled her necklace at me and asked me to pray the next decade. What? A decade? Are you kidding me? I thought to myself. For me, a decade meant one thing, 10 years. I was clueless and confused, and seeing the bewildered expression on my face, the kind Filipino lady offered a clarification. The second sorrowful mystery, she said. My reaction to her was complete silence. The clarification didn't help me understand what it was she was trying to communicate to me. I had absolutely no idea what this woman was up to by jingling her necklace at me and asking me to pray for 10 years. Needless to say, they carried on without me. Though I didn't join them that day, it didn't take long for me to be told what they were doing. The priest I talked to told me the ladies prayed the rosary before Mass every day. I remembered a diagram of something called the rosary in that book about Mary, but I hadn't known what it was at the time. Well, within a matter of days, the Filipino women took me under their care and taught me how to pray it. I was completely fascinated. Before long, I had all the prayers and mysteries memorized and was leading it, turning to others and inviting them to pray the next decade. I began to carry those little beads in my pocket wherever I went. That little 20-minute prayer helped me fall madly in love with Jesus and Catholicism. The rosary helped me turn from a life of sin to a life of freedom. It gave me the courage to surrender my heart, mind, and soul completely to Jesus and His Church. The Virgin Mary and her rosary saved my life. Lord, we give thanks to God for what the rosary has done for Father Calloway and for so many. I think of a resident in the residence in Sydney where I was chaplain many years ago who had grown up in another country, had served in the army of that country, and now had come to Sydney, somewhat older than the other undergraduates. He was not practicing his faith when he came to the college. And then, some months later, one day, he came to ask to go to confession. When he finished, he asked me, "Father, do you know where I can get a rosary?" I was astounded by the question. He just didn't seem like the right type to be asking for a rosary. A very fine man, but somehow that surprised me. And he said, "Yes, because when I was in my country where I grew up, I was in a boarding school, and we used to say the rosary every day, and I would like to take it up again." And then it occurred to me that that day was a feast day of Our Lady, although a minor one. And I asked him, "Are you aware that today is a feast day of Our Lady?" And he said, "No." And I said, "I think Our Lady brought you back on her feast day because of all those rosaries you said years ago." We cannot say that it was the rosary that brought about that conversion, but we cannot say that it wasn't either. Mary is so powerful, and we ask you, Mary and Jesus, help many souls to come back in these times when so many are drifting away. I think, too, of a man about whom I heard recently, who was distant from God, although growing up in the faith, and saying the rosary with his family every day for many years. Then he drifted away, and one day his son came to him and simply gave him a rosary and a little prayer book, and said very little. Some time later, he came back and he saw that the rosary and that prayer book were on the table, and he simply looked at them. And the father picked up the rosary and said, "I'm saying it every day." And he was reading something from the prayer book every day. And again, Our Lady is all-powerful in bringing people back to God. And then how powerful it is, prayed for the sick and the dying. When someone is sick and we say it with them, perhaps if they are in bed, how consoling, how powerful that prayer is. And we pray to Mary, health of the sick. And when someone is dying, that the family gathers around the bedside and prays the rosary with them. That prayer, which is somewhat long, but so consoling and so powerful, that they are simply hearing those prayers over and over again, the Hail Marys, the Glory Be, the Our Father. Pope Pius IX, when he was on his deathbed in the 19th century, was asked by one of the prelates with him what was on his mind in those moments. And he answered, "Actually, I'm contemplating the 15 mysteries of the Rosary depicted on the walls of this room. If you only knew how encouraging they are to me. Considering them is most comforting. Meditating on the joyful mysteries, I forget about my pain. Considering the different phases of the Passion, I am greatly heartened, since I tread the path of suffering in the company of Christ who went before me. When I bring the glorious mysteries to mind, I am filled with joy. It is very clear to me that all my pain is being converted into glory. What great solace the rosary has been on my deathbed." The rosary, he went on, is like an abridged version of the gospel. It provides rivers of peace to those who say it well. By far, it is the richest devotion and the one most abundant in graces. It certainly is the most pleasing to the heart of Mary. Remember me, my sons, by this final testimony I am giving to you now. And Lord, help us to take that testimony to heart. The rosary, a compendium of the gospel, providing rivers of peace and so much consolation, especially to those who are sick and dying. It is indeed a powerful prayer. It provides rivers of peace for families who say it. And the family rosary is one of those traditional acts of piety. And if there are arguments, if there is tension in a family and they say the rosary together, the tension is no longer there. The arguments cease. Peace descends. Families are united through that prayer. Pope John Paul II, in his apostolic letter Rosarium Virginis Mariae, in which he gave us the new Mysteries of Light, wrote, "As a prayer for peace, the rosary is also and always has been a prayer of and for the family. At one time, this prayer was particularly dear to Christian families, and it certainly brought them closer together. It is important not to lose this precious inheritance. We need to return to the practice of family prayer and prayer for families, continuing to use the rosary." And he went on, "The family that prays together stays together. The Holy Rosary, by age-old tradition, has shown itself particularly effective as a prayer which brings the family together. Many of the problems facing contemporary families, especially in economically developed societies, result from their increasing difficulty in communicating. Families seldom manage to come together, and the rare occasions when they do are often taken up with watching television. To return to the recitation of the family rosary means filling daily life with very different images, images of the mystery of salvation, the image of the Redeemer, the image of His Most Blessed Mother. The family that recites the rosary together reproduces something of the atmosphere of the household of Nazareth. Its members place Jesus at the center. They share His joys and sorrows. They place their needs and their plans in His hands. They draw from Him the hope and the strength to go on. And again, Lord, we ask You, help families today to take up once again the custom of the family rosary, and those who are living it, that they continue, that the children perhaps can lead a mystery each and suggest the intention. And everyone prays for all of those intentions in their own family and extended family, in the church and in the world. The rosary does so much good in bringing families together, in bringing families closer to God. And always, the rosary is all-powerful in bringing those who say it closer to God, in sanctifying them. Perhaps not all of the intentions for which they are praying will be realized, but the intention of their own sanctification, their own growth in holiness, is always realized. Because, Lord, in the rosary we are meditating on Your life, Your infancy in the joyful mysteries, Your public life in the mysteries of light, Your passion and death in the sorrowful mysteries, and Your resurrection and glorification in the glorious mysteries. We're meditating on You, and that cannot but sanctify us and bring us closer to You. We are praising the Blessed Trinity, beginning with the sign of the cross, praying the Apostles' Creed, which is a praise of each person of the Blessed Trinity, praying the Glory Be after each mystery. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praising the Blessed Trinity, praising the Father in the Our Father, in that prayer that You gave us. Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praising Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And then in each Hail Mary, Jesus, praising You too, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And then that humble petition, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. When we pray with humility like that to our Mother, Holy Mary, Mother of God, and our Mother, pray for us. We need it. We are helpless. We are sinners. And pray for us at the hour of our death. And if we are praying the rosary with someone who is dying, how consoling those words are. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death, and take us home. Be there as gate of heaven, as Mother of Mercy, to welcome us into that room in the Father's house. Help us to take up the rosary if we are not saying it, to say it daily if we possibly can. It is such a powerful prayer. And we can conclude with some words of Pope Francis in Castel Gandolfo in August 2013. He said, "Mary joins us. She fights at our side. She supports Christians in the fight against the forces of evil, especially through prayer, through the rosary. Hear me out, the rosary. Do you pray the rosary each day?" And Lord, we finish as always, going to Mary. This Marian prayer, which is at the same time a prayer about you, a Christological prayer. Mary, help us to love you more, to entrust ourselves to your powerful intercession through the rosary, to take up your request at Fatima, to say it every day. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.